Best-in-class returns with draft guru Sean Sullivan taking you around the NFL, week three looks at rookies, young players, and of course, a heavy dose of the Bucks. Enjoy. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa, the home of the giant 65-year family business that has operated in Tampa, serving the communities. So exciting. Our Ford Pro Elite is opening soon, so we're just continuing to expand. And I'm just so grateful that I'm able to do this podcast and work for the Curry family. And that's what I was going to tell you. The first 2 weeks of my season, I have been traveling for work. So it's so funny that I got an email from a listener and basically said, hey, sometimes the main job gets in the way of your side job, which is so true. So that's what happened, guys. I'm so sorry. I will get back on a regular schedule for the podcast. I appreciate it very much. You can email me any questions or comments to bestinclass@billcurryford.com. And getting back to the Curry family, we are celebrating 65 years in Tampa with huge celebrations of savings back to the customers. You can visit our website at billcurryford.com, see all of our amazing specials, schedule your mobile service or pick up and delivery. And now that interest rates are down, it's so wonderful because we're now able to get rates similar to what we were doing during COVID and pre-COVID. So those are exciting. That's exciting things. But now let's get into football, right? Because that's what this podcast is about. It's about football. So the Bucks played the Jets. So the Bucks obviously pulled it out 29-27. Last minute deal. You know, obviously special teams breakdowns again in this game. But I want to keep this podcast about the job that Jason Light and Todd Bowles and the team they assembled and the players. I want to keep this on a very positive note. So normally I'm very critique-y where I'm going to pick out some things. And this podcast is going to be a little bit different for my breakdown of the Bucks. I'm just so proud of this 3-0 team. These are games in the past that we just lose. And the fact that we are pulling these out and winning, it's just such a great feeling. And the fun thing is they're entertaining games because they're coming down to the wire. We have players that really represent what Tampa is. Like, could Baker Mayfield, he might as well have been born a stone's throw from the old sombrero because he feels just like he was born here. You know, it represents us as like this blue collar town, you know, with a little bit of white collar mixed in. We're a very diverse group of people. We're Southerners, but we also have a nice mix of Northerners. I mean, we're just like a melting pot of good people. And I love my city. And it's just like Baker just really, he seems like he's from here. It just bleeds Tampa. Like, it's just to see the way he plays, the way he puts his head down, the way he fights, the way there's no give up, the way he just continues through adversity. Because, you know, that offensive line, you know, was tough. Very tough, but I think they played hard, and Baker played hard. I mean, we're going to get into some individual players, but I just wanted to say that because I just wanted you to understand how I feel about this team. And the fact that Jason Light has assembled this team has just done a terrific job. And I want to point out some players. So let's start with the Jets real quick. They didn't have Justin Fields. Their offense was designed around Justin Fields. Tyrod Taylor is one of those guys that has always beaten the Bucs, like in the past. As you guys know, Lee talks about the fact that it's a 75 yards and whatever it was, 30 seconds or whatever it was to win the game. But Tyrod, you know, he passed for 2 touchdowns in the game. You know, he had a pick 6 with Jamal Dean. He wasn't overly efficient. He did run the ball for 6 yards a clip at 48 yards. We pretty much shut down their running game. Their number one receiver had a good game with 84 yards on 10 catches and a touchdown. But really, Tyler Johnson, the former Buccaneer, really wasn't very effective and had several drops in the game. Overall, their receivers are very poor. I think besides Garrett Wilson, they didn't really have much. On defense, I think they just wore down. I think the heat wore them down. I really felt like they should have controlled the line of scrimmage more against a makeshift offensive line. So I have to give the Bucs credit for that. What I didn't like, if you guys saw when the field goal was blocked, and I'm not going to get into a long special teams conversation because the Bucs know what they need to do on special teams. It's been horrible. But when Will McDonald jumped over the center with an amazing athletic play and then blocks to kick and then returned it, I don't know if you saw Aaron Glenn, who was the head coach of the Jets, and he basically was running down the sideline, which was, you know, fine for me. But then at the end, he did this, like, this strut, like, gloating thing. And I I was just thinking at the time, is that really what you want to show your players in this moment? That's what you want to show them? Yeah, I was really turned off by that. The play was obviously a very powerful play for the Jets. It was just really strange to see his reaction to that. And then the way he interacted with his players, I don't know. If you guys haven't seen it, you guys can go on YouTube and see it. But it's something that just struck me in the moment. And then Todd Bowles, who sometimes I want to be animated, good or bad, has a stoic stance. And I'm really starting to feel like that stoic stance, the way Dungy used to do it, the way he does it, it almost gives you a confidence. Like, he doesn't put his head down. You know, he doesn't react to negative plays. He sometimes reacts to positive plays, but in a very mature manner, very leadership manner, like very professional manner. And I really think that that's an interesting part of Todd Bowles' head coaching style. But anyway, getting back to Baker Mayfield, 19 of 29, 233, 8 yards, a throw, a touchdown, just amazing play. Overall for the season, he's having a good season. I know it on the stats. It's not like the first three games of last year, but let me just tell you, no turnovers, three late game wins. I think it's the first time a team's done it in, I don't know, 50 years or something. There's no quit in him. It's just amazing to see him play. And this team, Bucky Irving, 25 carries. They kept feeding him the ball, even though he was below 3 yards a carry, which is a necessary part of what we were doing. You can see the offensive line is a better run-blocking offensive line than pass-blocking offensive line, but they weren't opening a lot of holes for Bucky. But he was still pounding it in there. He was really giving it his all. Mayfield rushed for 44 yards in this game, which is very impressive. Rashard White didn't get a lot of touches. And I think it's a mistake not to have Rashard White mixed into our offense, either catching or running. Even the screens went to Bucky. Bucky had 4 catches for 33 yards, 8 yards a carry, did a wonderful job. This has nothing to do with Bucky, but in that climate, in that heat, and the fact that we gave him 25 carries, I really feel like this was a game where Rashard should have had, you know, 10 carries in this game, maybe caught a screen near the goal line because he's very good about getting into the end zone. That's just a critique. It's not a criticism because I really think they played hard. Amika right now, besides Tyler Warren, might be the offensive player of the year. He actually, the good thing about Amika is he's in the NFL this year without that quarterback class, without like a big quarterback class. You basically have Cam Ward, and he's playing okay, but he's not setting the world on fire, and that's it. So this is a year where a non-quarterback most likely will win Offensive Player of the Year, and I think Amika has a really good opportunity to do that. But again, Warren is just, he's already like the third best tight end in the league, so that's pretty amazing. But Amika showed us what he can do, even when they stole the catch from him, which was a catch, and it's clear that it was a catch. He would have been over 100 yards. He had a one-handed catch. He was playing injured. Again, just a great draft pick by Jason Light. They had their eyes on him for a year. Now we know why. He's special. And I'm just very proud of this organization. Like, my whole life growing up, we would make the wrong choices. Make the wrong choices. And I was just talking to Lee about this the other day. In 1983, the actual quarterback draft, we had the number one overall pick, and we traded it for a backup quarterback so we didn't have to pay John Elway. And it basically, we didn't even trade down. We could have, after Doug Williams, because we let Doug Williams leave in free agency, we could have had any plethora of 5 first-round quarterbacks. We didn't have to take John Elway. Instead, we got to throw in Samoan, and he was only in the NFL for 2 years, and then he went to sell State Farm Insurance. But we missed out on that. And then the next year, of course, we finished last again, got the number one overall pick in 85, and said, okay, we're not going to trade out of this pick, even though Bo Jackson said, don't draft me. We're like, we're not going to make the same mistake we made in the quarterback draft. So then we compounded it by making yet another mistake. And then we finished last again in 1987. We had the number one overall pick again, and we picked Vinny Testaverde, which was the right pick. But out of having the number one overall pick 3 years, 3 times in 5 years, and to only get one player out of it, who actually only didn't sign a second contract with us and went on to star in the NFL and throw for 44,000 yards. Again, that's what my life was like growing up. Right? And then now we win Super Bowls, we win divisions, we draft well, we select good people and good players. It's just, I can't tell you what a difference that makes as a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. And I'm grateful to Jason Light and his team. I'm grateful for getting to watch a good, consistent product, and it has been consistent for a long time now. So getting back to the game, You know, Mike Evans had the injury. I think he's going to be out for 3 or 4 weeks. But he did have a touchdown in the game, an easy slant for him. Other than that, and of course, Sterling Shepard, he's on pace for 800 yards. So I don't think he's going to get that with Godwin returning this week. Mike Evans is out. But can you imagine in like 3 weeks we're going to have Evans, Godwin, Amika, and then I guess Sterling Shepard will be your fifth when McMillan comes back. So if you think about it, when we're a healthy team, let's say middle of the year, let's hope McMillan comes back after week 8. If that's the case, you're going to have Evans, Godwin, Amika, McMillan, and Shepard as your top 5 receivers. There is nobody that has that in the NFL. And I'm excited to see that with a healthy Bucky Irving and a healthy running game and our offensive line coming back. This team has a chance. And by the way, guys, we've won 8 games already. We've won 8 games. It says we're 3-0, but we're really 8-0 because the division's terrible. We have 2 games against Carolina, 2 games against New Orleans, and another game against Atlanta. We have to win those games. So if you add those up with our 3, that's 8. Right now, we're an 8-win team, and that's how I'm looking at it. So go Bucks. We have the Eagles game coming up. This is an important game for us because I want the tiebreaker for home field, right, in the NFC, because I think it's going to come down to the Eagles and us and Packers most likely will be, and obviously Detroit. Well, those will probably come down to those guys. I don't know about Washington. Washington's hit or miss. Somebody sent me an email to talk to me about Washington, and I was like, it's interesting to me because Washington's offense is very, very good, even without Jaden Daniels. We watched it last week. It's really interesting overall, that team. I don't think they're going to be there at the end. I don't, based on just the talent alone. I want to talk about a couple more Buccaneer players, right? So one of the most impressive players is Yaya Diaby so far. And I know he had 4 tackles in this game. He had a sack. He had 2 tackles for loss. He had 2 more quarterback pressures, 2 more quarterback hits. This guy is playing extremely well, Bucks fans. And I really want to point out Yaya because he just looks like a beast out there. Keep your eye on him. I think he's budding on superstardom. I really do. And I'm really proud of that fact because he's working very, very very hard. He worked hard on his body. Elijah Roberts, a guy that we drafted in the 5th round, also is playing very well in the middle of the line with Kansi out. There was a Benjamin Morrison sighting. He got a lot of snaps in this game. 2 tackles, 1 tackle for loss. And then, of course, Parrish, 5 tackles, a sack, a tackle for loss. Parrish is playing unbelievably well for a rookie. Like I don't know if you can call him a rookie. And then Tyke Smith out of Georgia last year, unbelievable player. Like 7 tackles, physical, absolutely plays the run extremely well. Just all around. The drafting has just been out of sight. And then I read that the Bucks have more draft picks on their team than any other NFL team. Thought that was an interesting stat. The other thing about Amika, I sent this to Steve, Ira, and Lee, was that Amika is the 6th best receiver in the NFL at getting open. He's open on like 63% of his routes, which is an incredible percentage. All right, let's move on to, I'm not going to talk about any of the Jets. I mean, Armand Mbeumo is starting for the Jets, but I really don't want to get into a long conversation. He played okay. He's been a starter for them, so he's been doing pretty good. The next game that I want to talk about, Dolphins-Bills. So the Bills won 31-21. The Dolphins actually put up a fight in this one. There was a late pick that really solidified the game for the Bills. Miami is in trouble. And I think it's pretty obvious, even though they got their offense running a little bit better against a very strong Bills defense. Bills are 3-0. If you're looking at the Dolphins and their draft picks, you know, they went with Kenneth Grant in that first round, defensive tackle. He's been okay. There really hasn't been anybody. Ollie Gordon is a running back that's been getting in and out for them. He's an interesting guy to keep an eye on. The Bills, again, you know, they drafted a corner in the first round. And Maxwell Hairston, who's been in and out, Landon Jackson out of Arkansas. But Jackson Hall's out of all of their draft picks right now, if you can laugh, but in the 5th round, pick 169, he was basically a developmental tight end. Well, he's got like a rapport with Josh Allen. He had his first NFL touchdown in this game. It was pretty cool. But if you're looking for like an up-and-coming, like garbage pail, like lunchbox, you know, guy, this Jackson Hall's guy, he's just like the epitome of the glass eaters, right, for the tight ends. But Josh Allen seems to really like him, and he's getting some targets. And again, it's interesting. And then Deion Walker, the defensive tackle, I think he's playing a really good role. He's taken over for Ed Oliver, who was out for the season. He forced a turnover. You know, he got into the throwing lane, basically tipped a ball, getting to the quarterback. So there's another guy to keep an eye on. It's the next game is the Packers Browns. The Browns won 13-10. This was a defensive battle, and in the first half it was like 3-3. If you love defense, this is a great game to watch. If you love football overall, this was a tough game to watch. There just wasn't a lot going on. As far as there's some interesting rookies in here, Carson Switzinger is the linebacker that was drafted by the Browns. And it's unbelievable how the Browns continue to select these defensive players and they just go right in and make an impact. Carson's done that. I think he's playing some of the best run defense from the linebacker position in the NFL, which is really interesting. He has 14 tackles, 7 assists, and 8 stops on the season through 3 games, which is pretty amazing. And then also with Judkins, it's finally, you know, he signed his contract. He went in there. He got his first start in the NFL, had 18 carries, 94 yards, and a touchdown. You might be looking at a star with this Judkins kid out of Ohio State, which was their second-round pick. And then Matthew Golden, the wide receiver out of Texas, which was the Packers' top pick, had 4 receptions for 52 yards in the game. So he's starting to become their number one target. So some interesting players in that game. Colts-Titans, the Colts won 41-20. This game wasn't close. Cam Ward being the number one overall pick. Still fighting, still playing well. He just doesn't have a lot going on. Doesn't have a lot to work with. Overall, I really like him. He completed 22 of 32 passes for 219 and a touchdown. He had a 71-yard touchdown drive. He doesn't have a lot around him. And that's really interesting. And then a guy from last year, Okonowo, the tight end that was drafted last year, he led the Titans with 5 receptions for 66 yards. So he was the guy that ran the fastest combine time last year for all the tight ends. He's built like a wide receiver, but he can still block. So he's a very, very good blocker. And I'm just really happy that they're starting to use him in the passing game. One of the top players in the entire NFL right now, through the first 3 games, is Tyler Warren, the guy that I was telling you that is competing with Amika right now. He caught 3 passes for 38 yards in this game, but he's a terrific run blocker. He's playing hurt right now. The first 2 games of this season, he's an absolute force for the Colts, especially in the red zone. What an impactful player. If you see him run with the ball, it's a thing of beauty. I mean, the guy grabs the ball, puts his head down, and he's like, he's just going to run through you. It's really interesting to watch him play. If you guys haven't seen Tyler Warren play, look up some of his highlights on YouTube for the first 3 games. You'll see Daniel Jones there, who's this year's Baker Mayfield in a way, because he's just revitalizing his career as a number one draft pick, you know, of the Giants. So that's pretty much all I want to talk about with those guys. Bengals-Vikings. The Vikings won this game 48-10 with Carson Wentz which I don't know what that says about the Bengals. You know, obviously their quarterback's now out for the whole year. Burrow's out. Defensively, they were just terrible in this game. Carson Wentz was really good in this game, which you don't hear that very often, but he was. Pretty interesting. There are really no players I want to talk about between these guys. There's no rookies that I was really impressed with so far. I haven't been impressed with McCarthy, last year's number one pick from the Vikings. So moving on to the Steelers and the Patriots. The Steelers 21-14. This was a very close game. The Patriots should have blown the Steelers out. The Patriots were in the red zone 3 times to score a touchdown, including one over the goal, like at the goal line, and fumbled the ball on 3 straight red zone drives. Incredible, right? So the Patriots are, it looks to me like they're going to move forward with starting Trayvon Henderson, the running back out of Ohio State, one of my favorite players in the draft. I think they're gonna run with him. He was the only one that didn't fumble. So it looks like the Patriots are continuing to go with veteran running backs, and now they're going to get benched. So we'll see how that's going. As far as the Steelers go, Derek Harmon, their defensive tackle out of Oregon, has been sensational. Caleb Johnson, the running back out of Iowa, is not getting any snaps right now. So that's pretty interesting. As far as in the Patriots, we just talked about Trayvon Henderson. And then Will Campbell, the offensive tackle at LSU, is getting a ton of playing time for them. So there's some good young players for both of these teams. Very interesting. Will Howard, this is where Will Howard went. When I was at the Combine, Will Howard was the Ohio State quarterback, and he wasn't going to go high in the draft. Everyone knew that, but he still did all the interviews. He answered all the questions, and he was just a fine young man. Really liked him a lot. Don't like Ohio State, but Will Howard was just a really good guy, a player that you should watch on the Steelers. I think he's going to be there a long time, backing them up. As far as the Patriots are concerned, I'm really looking forward to Trayvon Henderson, maybe the wide receiver out of Washington State, Kyle Williams, getting some more playing time, but we'll see. Rams and Eagles, what a great game this was. For those of you who didn't watch the game, the Eagles blocked a kick to win the game. The Rams should have just kicked a field goal and won. But that's how the Eagles won. So they won in the last second, just like the Bucks did. So you have two 3-0 teams pivoting at 1 o'clock this week. What a great game. The Eagles continue to draft unbelievable. I have to say that besides the Bucks, I don't know of any team that does a better job than the Eagles, and they might do the best job. So it's definitely Jason Light's a top two or three in the NFL GM for sure. But the Philadelphia Eagles are just I don't know how they're doing it, being always picking in the last part of the draft on the first round, but they continue to just pick these guys. Jahad Campbell was a guy that I actually predicted going to the Eagles in my mock draft. And he has been absolutely sensational for the Eagles. He's finished in the top 10 in tackles already this year in the first three games. He's had five tackles in this game across 30 snaps. He gets quarterback hurries. He's amazing in pass coverage. He wins 20% of the time as a pass rusher. His coverage grade right now, which I don't put a lot of stock in, but you do want to pay attention if they're super high or super low. I really don't care about the rest. And he has one of the highest grades in the entire NFL, which is really interesting. We're going to get to see Jahad Campbell this Sunday. So really interesting stuff with that pick. But, man, to be the last pick in the first round and to be this impactful of a player is pretty incredible. Moving on to the Raiders and Commanders. So that's what I was saying earlier. The Commanders without their starting quarterback blew the Raiders out by 20 points, which is just insane to me because the Raiders had a full complement of their team. For the running back, Ja'Cory Crosby-Merritt for the Commanders has played extremely well. He was seventh round pick of Washington and has really outplayed his position. So now that the Commanders starting running back Eckler is out for the year, I think you're going to see him getting into the mix with Chris Rodriguez as well, sharing carries for Washington. So that's going to be really interesting. As far as the Raiders are concerned, I really would like the Raiders to get Brock Bowers healthy, get him like fully healthy before you put him back on the field, because I think he's just an amazing weapon. But the Raiders defense was just completely outmatched in this game with the running quarterbacks. Just really interesting. Falcons, Panthers. Falcons, our least favorite team right now, at least today, got blown out by 30 points by the Panthers. Interesting win. Couldn't have happened to a better team. Penix looked rough in this game, really rough. So unless he's going to figure it out, because he's got great pass weapons. He's got Pitts. He's got London. He's got one of the best running backs in the NFL. He's got a good offensive line, and he's not getting it done. They fired their wide receivers coach, Ikiliard, and now they're moving their offensive coordinator down to the field. So they're going to see if that makes any changes for this week. We'll see. Again, the Panthers look like the Panthers and somehow kept getting short fields and actually scoring. So congratulations to them. The safety, Lantham Ransom, a fourth-round pick out of Ohio State, has played extremely well for Carolina. If you like safety play, he's just a solid guy. And then T-Mac, the wide receiver drafted in the first round by the Panthers, is interesting because he's catching balls. He's getting about 50 yards a game. He's not being used correctly. I really think it's tough on him. One of the interesting things about Amika's falling into the Bucks was he fell into an organization that passes the ball with a good quarterback, accurate quarterback that scores points. And then McMillan, who is another top wide receiver in the NFL last year in the draft, falls into the Panthers, who struggle to throw the ball. It's tough to watch because he's a very talented wide receiver, and they got to figure out a way to get him the ball more, kind of like the Neighbors situation with the Giants. Texans, Jaguars. The Jaguars won the game 17-10. Texans, you know, were coming off a hard loss to the Bucks in the last minute, and they just looked like they were still in sticker shock in this game. There's nobody in this game really that really pops off as a rookie. Obviously, they have rookies that are playing, but no one's playing exceptionally well. Travis Hunter, who I'm really high on, played, you know, a lot of this game, caught a couple of balls, played 50 snaps on defense, played well on defense this game. They're still trying to figure out how they're going to work him into the NFL. So that's a tough one for me. The Texans, you know, with Higgins out of Iowa State, the wide receiver, and Noel, who played special teams, really had no impact in this game. And then Brian Thomas Jr.'s last year's number one pick of the Jaguars has just got a case of the droppies. He just drops everything. Drops touchdowns, drops wide open balls. and the fans are turning on them, so that's not going to be super fun for them. Moving on to the Chargers and the Broncos. Chargers won this game 23-20. Justin Herbert is just playing lights out football. Lee sent me this amazing stat on the first years of Justin Herbert versus Peyton Manning. The same amount of years in the NFL, Herbert has more touchdowns, more yards, better completion percentage, and more wins. So if you look at it, he's on a trajectory better than Peyton Manning. So I think that's really interesting because people don't talk about him as an elite quarterback. Justin Herbert is an elite quarterback. I've been talking about him since the Tua debacle when the Miami Dolphins passed on Herbert for some reason, who was the best quarterback in the draft. I don't get it. But the Chargers are doing extremely well. The Broncos, I think, are struggling at 1-2, but I think they're going to bounce up. They're going to bounce back. The Chargers are 3-0. Omarion Hampton, the Chargers running back, again, played really well. He had a touchdown, 70 yards in the game. Interesting prospect. The Chargers continue to draft offensive and defensive linemen that are really building those lines up. He really has, Harbaugh's really made this team into a microcosm of, or a macrocosm of his Michigan teams. Large, get the largest possible linemen you can and have, and put skill players around them. So that's really working. Seahawks and Saints. Seahawks blew the Saints out 44-13. The Saints look like the Aints. They might be the worst team in the NFL. I'm not sure. We'll see. Seahawks have played extremely well with Sam Darnold. Jackson Smith Enigma has been an unbelievable player for them. 5 receptions, 96 yards. Alvin Kamara is still doing Alvin Kamara stuff. Torrey Horton out of Colorado State, this really star wide receiver, got hurt at the end of the season, kind of fell in the draft, and he has just been sensational. He had a 95-yard punt return in this game for a touchdown. So congratulations to him. I think he would have been a solid second-round pick without the injury. Bears and Cowboys. Bears won 31-14 over the Cowboys. Cowboys really didn't put up much on defense. Caleb Williams was sensational. 298 yards, 300 yards, 4 touchdowns. Showed off his arm strength. Showed that he has the strongest arm in the NFL. Again, still throws too much off his back foot. I think he relies too much on that arm. But I love the fact that Ben Johnson has him running the ball finally. Rolling out of the pocket, using his mobility, getting yards on the ground, extending plays. Caleb Williams is going to be a superstar in this league. He's just scratching the surface. He's had 3 offensive coordinators in 1 year. That's a lot for any quarterback, let alone a rookie quarterback. Luther Burton III, 3 receptions, 100 yards, including that flea flicker where he got most of those yards and a touchdown. He seemed to be coming out of his shell some. Still trying to figure out the Loveland, which was a top tight end taken over Tyler Warren in the draft. Still trying to get him worked into the offense, but that's a really interesting play. As far as the Cowboys are concerned, the Cowboys have some interesting offensive line play. You know, overall, I think they've drafted very well in the offensive line, but I don't think that's what really hurt them in this game. It just looked to me like the Cowboys just had nothing on defense. They just kept getting just rolled. And that Bears offense isn't like a juggernaut at this point. And maybe it is becoming a juggernaut. Well, I guess we'll see this week. Consistency. 49ers and Cardinals. What a boring game. 16-15. I watched this game. Man, it was tough to watch. Not a lot of good play in this game. Nothing really to talk about. Pearsall, last year's first-round draft pick out of Florida, had 8 receptions for 117 yards. He's the number one receiver on the 49ers right now. Walter Nolan, the Cardinals' first-round draft pick, still is out for the season. Maybe he's not out for the whole season, but he's still on injured reserve. Giants and Chiefs. Chiefs won 22-9. The Giants finally made the move to Dart, so we'll see how this is going to go. The rookie's going to get a start this week against a very, very good Chargers team, so that's a really tough start. Cam Scataboo, one of my absolute favorite players in the draft, told everybody about him. Very tough to get down, had 10 carries, 60 yards. He's now the starter, and he had a touchdown. He's now the starter for the Giants. He's already loved by the fans. He's already got the number one selling jersey. I'm sure Dart probably will pass him now, but he has the number one selling jersey. It's really interesting, but Cam Scataboo is the real deal. I'm really looking forward to seeing Dart play. The Chiefs, you know, stole this game because the Chiefs played extremely poor. As far as the Giants' number one overall pick, he needs to play better. You know, the whole Giants defense needs to play better. But I think it could be just scheme. It could be their defensive coordinator needs to take a hike because some of those calls are pretty bad. Lions and Ravens. The Lions pulled this game out 38-30. Was this one of the most entertaining games of the week? I really thought it was amazing. There's a guard the Detroit Lions drafted in the second round out of Georgia, Tate Ratledge. this guy's amazing. So sometimes it's amazing when you like find these guys. He's like got an okay college career. He comes in and just fits right in with the Detroit offensive line and just absolutely is murdering it for them. Love to watch him play. He's very physical, very aggressive player. So the Lions are, I should put the Lions in there. They're another team that has drafted well. I'm not super thrilled with the last two drafts, but the two drafts before that pretty much built a team that's winning 14 games last year. So that's pretty amazing. So this concludes this week, week three, going through this. I'll be on a normal schedule starting this week after the Philadelphia game. You guys can reach me at bestinclass@BillCurryFord.com. Please visit Bill Curry Ford Tampa, all of our social media sites. Please follow us and leave reviews at Podbeam, Google, Apple Play. I'll see you guys soon.